Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2 for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And of course, HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7. 365. Well, the Commander-in-Chief is here. Is that right? Commander-in-Chief? Or just Chairman?
I don't even know if either of those actually apply.
Michael Johnson, the Chairman of the York County Council, our guest today, and I thank you for coming on down. I know you are an extremely busy guy. How are you liking the new job, by the way?
You know, there are has its good days and its bad days. I think the title's a tad bit overrated, but I enjoy it. I feel like we're actually accomplishing some things. One of the reasons I wanted to be chair, I wanted to move the ball down the field. My use that analogy, I felt like we just didn't get things over the across the goal line, and so my goal is to make that happen from here on out.
All right. Well, here's the first thing that you got to trouble yourself with. How's your search for a new county manager coming?
I didn't even know we were doing a manager search, Manning.
Are you doing? Let me rephrase that. Are we doing a manager?
Actually, it's going very well. We've hired a consulting firm to come and help us find a manager. Last time we used the Association of Counties, process took a lot longer. We're trying to streamline it. Our goal is to have someone hired by December or January. So, if you are in the market and you have the qualifications and you want to be the manager of York County, and may God help your soul if you do, I want you to come on and apply right now.
In all seriousness, though, what kind of person do you think the county is at a point in needing? I mean, we've got so many massive issues going on around here, and you've got, as we talked about earlier, you've got a rural part of the county, you've got an urbanized part of the county, trying to pull all those personalities together, which are obviously trying to do the best for their constituencies, is an issue.
Oh, it's a major issue. I think we need someone who understands what it means to be a high-growth county. Because while, yes, we have rural areas, those rural areas will be high-growth areas in the next 20 years. So it's time to start thinking at a larger scale. Someone who understands mass transit, who understands planning, who's done the engineering part, really someone who is well-rounded, and also someone who can help us with the fire issues we have in York County. Now, our fire departments, we still need to get that kind of group together, and we need to tackle that issue. And we need someone ultimately who will stand up to council and tell us no when they think no. And I think that's the most important thing you can do as an elected official. I need someone to look at me and say no. And if they'll say that to me occasionally and have reasoning for it, we don't have to agree. I may still say yes and go on my merry way. But we do need someone who can help stand up to us and help herd the cats, so to speak.
Or, as I call it, loyal opposition. You don't learn anything by surrounding yourself with people who say yes, 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 yes all the time.
That is a fact. And you need somebody to say no in the background, and then if you say yes, they go out and carry out what the council said to do. But I need to hear, when you disagree with us, we need to know it.
Okay. I know this next thing is just near and dear to your heart. It's one that you just love talking about. That's the good old, I'm laughing here, to even say tethering. Are you tired? Have you had enough about whether we're going to put dogs on leashes or not?
Manning, as long as you don't make me read that ordinance again, I am perfectly okay. I'm glad we were able to make changes, clarify the previous changes back from 2010, 2011, and now we can move forward. We have done away with tethering at certain levels. Certainly you can still put a dog on a line so the dog can run and do things like that in your backyard. The goal was, though, to just, in all honesty, there's a concern about dog fighting in York County. There's a concern that we have groups and individuals who are basically training dogs for this purpose, and anything we can do to stop that, that made sense to me.
And with all that being said, I think we need to give some accolades to the York County Animal Control, which basically has gotten to a point of being called a no-kill shelter, which I think is quite an accomplishment.
Oh, let me tell you, the past 2 years, that shelter has done just a total turnaround, 180 degree. I couldn't be any happier, and they do deserve all of the credit. You know, often, as a council, people look at us and they go, oh, look at all the things you've done. We set policy. It's the people behind the scenes. It's all the staff, all of the county employees. They're the ones who actually make this thing work.
Okay, let me move on to the ongoing discussion about the proposal or recommendation from the York County Economic Development to try to restructure themselves yet again into some type of a public-private entity. Now, that's been tabled or shipped back again for more discussion. What are the pros and the cons as you see it?
I think the pros were we can get a greater buy-in from the private sector. Get the private sector to help donate, help build up a fund, help actually fund economic development, which would reduce the amount of money coming out of the general fund. So if you're getting $10 and the general fund's paying $8 of those $10, and all of a sudden tomorrow the general fund can pay $4, well, we now have $4 extra dollars in the general fund that we can spend on something else, maybe roads, maybe infrastructure. So that made sense to me. The con was if you separate it, do you get into a situation where a select small group is now running economic development, and does it become a pay-to-play scheme? Do you have to be a donor in order to be able to get inside some of these inner meetings? We've sent it back. I don't see it coming up anytime soon, and if it does, it's going to have to be reworked, and it's going to have to be very clear to everyone on council and all in the public how you go about, if you want to be a part of Growth Partners, how you do that. How do you donate? Do you have to donate in order to be involved in certain things? We have to go back there. We have to make sure everybody's comfortable with it. You can't. Economic development is working in York County. So there is no reason to do something that could derail it or cause it not to work. So I think we'll study it. If it ends up, we're going to keep it the way it is. You won't see it again. So we'll just, time will tell.
All right. So you're warmed up now? You're ready to get in some good stuff?
I feel like we have hit the major high points.
You and I just spent probably 10 or 15 minutes before the beginning of the program talking about something that consumes, as you said, 80% of your time, which is roads, 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 and roads.
Yes.
Chet Miller was on the program Friday, and you know Chet. He's been very involved with helping the county get through a number of bond referendums. And his point is we just can't build any more four-lane, six-lane highways. We're out of land. We can't expand the interstate. You can't expand Celanese. You can't expand 160 anymore. We're like New York at drive time.
Yeah.
You can't get off the interstate to come back to Rock Hill or to Fort Mill. I mean, it's just a mess. So, mass transit keeps coming up. And as you pointed out at the last week's State of the Community breakfast up in TKK, the price tag for mass transit is not in the millions, it's in the billions, whatever the number is,
yeah.
Multi-billion dollars. And as you also pointed out, we don't have, as hard as it is for us to believe, we don't have the critical mass to make a mass transit system viable. Correct?
Correct. It's just, you know, really, let's think about it. In today's dollars, it's $2.5 billion with a B. Dollars to build it. That is if you had the money today and you were ready to break ground and start moving. Not only that, what you have to have, if you look at light rail in Charlotte, light rail in Charlotte's not strolling through the suburbs of Charlotte. It is strolling through high density areas, restaurants, apartments, condominiums, townhomes, places that have a lot of people. So what we have to do is we have to start rethinking how we would do that. And that's one of the things that Fort Mill and Rock Hill we're working on together is that 21 corridor plan, because that's where light rail, if it ever comes, it will come down somewhere through that 21 corridor. Light rail and mass transit, we have to start thinking about those things. But you also have to say to yourself, well, what's the ridership going to be? Out in Seattle, which is considered the golden child of mass transit, they have about a 9% ridership from what I understand from being on RFATs. Atlanta is down in the 3-4% range. let's pretend that we do really well and we're as good as Atlanta at this. If I'm going to spend $2.5-3 billion and only 4% of all the people are going to ride it, what you didn't do was you didn't really decrease the amount of traffic on I-77. So we have to come up with other ways. To me, the number one way to get people off the roads and get them off of I-77 is to have jobs in York County. Quit going to Charlotte to work. Let's bring these large companies down to Fort Mill, down to Rock Hill, all throughout York County. If you want, you know, this kind of that work, live, play, well, let's do it here. Let's create that type of economic system here. We're beginning to do that at Kingsley. You see it at Southbridge, the potential for the Panthers and all they could do through Rock Hill. We have a lot going on. We have to kind of try to take it, things we can do, and then we have to create an entire secondary road system. Ways to keep you off of Celanese, ways to keep you off 160, Gold Hill, off of Highway 21, off of Cherry Road, that you can move around in a secondary system. That is not always popular because that can create traffic through your neighborhood. It can create traffic down little roads that you don't want the traffic. But we have to think outside the box. No longer can you just say, I'm going to get up, jump on 160 and go from TKK over to the Home Depot. That's not going to happen quickly. So you have to find other ways.
Well, that being said, and very interesting points, Chet Miller's entire concept was to use existing rail lines that run all the way from York down to Rock Hill to Fort Mill up to Charlotte, work out some type of an arrangement with Norfolk Southern, let them operate the thing. The county would be responsible for floating some kind of a bond issue, which he was very optimistic, thinking that it could pass, that would pay for parking areas at all the designated stops, and also have part of that bond referendum be used for operational expenses to cover a shortfall. I mean, it sounded pretty good, but you kind of put ice water on it when you said only 3-9% people are going to use it.
Well, that is ultimately, that's the decision, isn't it? Anytime you're going to spend taxpayer dollars, whether I'm going to vote to spend billions of dollars, don't you have to look at how many people are going to do it? When I'm spending C funds to repave roads and I get a request in for a road, one of the things I make them put on my C fund request is how many houses are on that road? How many businesses are on that road? When I see something that says, oh, it's $200,000 and one person lives on it, or I can spend $200,000 and 100 people live on it, I tend to repave the 100 first before I do for just the one. Doesn't mean I won't do for the one. We have to, you just can't throw money at this because you want to throw money at this. No one wants light rail more than me. Anytime I go on vacation, I ride mass transit. I use the rail. I think I would use light rail every time I went into Charlotte. That being said, I'm not sure we should spend $3 billion so Michael Johnson can jump on light rail in Fort Mill.
But Chet's idea is not a billion-dollar idea. It's maybe $20 or $30 million just off the top of his head, working it out on the back of a napkin. Let's just say it's $100 million proposal, and that Norfolk Southern said we like the idea, and da 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 da, for $100 million and getting 9% or 10% of the traffic off the road. Would you think that that would be something that would be feasible?
For $100 million, I think we will spend the money and we will smile while we're actually writing that check. It's a huge check to write. But no, yes, I think it comes down. It's just economics. Right. How much money, how many people versus how much money you have to spend. And that's just it. We only have so much money for everything we do. And so you have to prioritize it and say, what is going to give you the most bang for the buck?
Right. So is the idea appealing enough that you as a chairman might suggest, you know what, I'm going to put some people together to at least explore this. I will drag in Chet Miller as well, since his idea, to see whether or not this thing has got any possibility whatsoever.
Well, I can tell you, for the last 10 years, we've been studying this in RFAT. So I am certainly willing to get a group together in RFAT, because this is a regional issue. This is not a York County or a Fort Mill or a Rock Hill issue. We have to tackle this at a regional level. So I think a group like RFATS would be best. And certainly, I am more than happy to invite Chet Miller to come on in and sit down explain it, and let's see what we can do to make it happen.
It's worth discussion. It's not going to cost anybody anything. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And this gang here knows how we do it. Let's tell everybody how we do it. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hectic schedule? In a rush? Now you can order your favorite Substation 2 sub or salad online and skip the line. Just go to MySubstationII.com, click on the online order tab, place your order, and come and get it. That's MySubstationII.com. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log in to Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
On October 24th, Piedmont Medical Center goes pink, a women's health event for our community. PMC Goes Pink is an evening of education and fun for women that's completely free. This educational ladies' night out in the hospital's Women's Tower Auditorium features local vendors, hors d'oeuvres, and drinks, a free gift, and health talks from women's health professionals. To register, go online to mypmc.com/breastcancerevent. That's mypmc.com/breastcancerevent.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. York County Council Chair Michael Johnson is with us today, and we have been through a potpourri of different things, from the county manager survey to tethering to the public-private issue with the York County Economic Development to mass transit. And I couldn't resist the opportunity to bring up Red 31, hut, hut, Carolina Panthers.
How about those Panthers?
How about those? Well, not yesterday. Not exactly great yesterday. I sat up there, and it was about 90-whatever. Sun was on us the whole time. We stayed to the end, hoping that they would pull it out. They didn't.
If they had a really nice practice facility, I think they'd be better.
Ah.
I think that's the missing part to the Panthers. Right
you
now.
Heard about that.
I've heard rumors they may think kind of about doing something. Yeah.
All right. Well, with all that being said, they've made it very public. You know, they are coming down to Rock Hill. They've identified a piece of land. And at this point, all I know is everybody who's involved with this thing, the county, the city, the Panthers, whoever else, has been around the table multiple times talking. And what is the state of the state, if you would?
We are still talking. It's kind of like being apparently in high school now. You do a lot of talking before you can date each other now. We're talking with the Panthers. We are excited about the opportunity. I think what it's going to come down to is, you know, what our involvement at a county level is. Certainly the state has done a huge job of tax incentives and putting together a package for the Panthers. What we're trying to do is sit down with them and see what type of economic package they're requesting from the county. Those negotiations are, as all negotiations are, they're ongoing. But don't be surprised. Something's going to happen in the next 3 months. And that sounds like forever, but it's in the next 3 months, I think you'll see this all get wrapped up into a nice bow, and hopefully the Panthers will start construction next year.
Well, and I hope that does happen. And they're just like, well, the whole concept of the state of South Carolina had to wrestle with in the General Assembly was getting the members of the General Assembly to understand that the incentive packages and the things that they did for industry should be transferable over to something like this, because this is a big business. The NFL is a big business. So do you see the county approaching it from the same standpoint? I mean, you all do lots of things, infrastructure and what have you.
I can tell you, we're approaching it from that exact thing. We are looking at this just like it was when LPL and Lash came to Fort Mill, just as when every company says we want to move to York County. We're looking at it. We're saying, how many jobs are you going to create? What is the tax base that you're going to create from this? How can we help incentivize this? If you look at it and you really think about it, we spent about, I think, $900,000 on infrastructure when LPL and Lash came into Kingsley. $900,000. Well, they need hundreds of millions of dollars for this. This is a large project. Does the county have hundreds of millions of dollars? No. We just talked about that with mass transit. We don't have that money just sitting around on a shelf somewhere. What we can do, though, is we can help you with some tax incentives to help bring you in, just like we would any business. We want the Panthers. We want the Panthers to be here long term. I just think it's just a matter of making sure that it is a good deal for Mr. Tepper and it is a good deal for York County.
You know, it is interesting. Last night, the Sunday night football game was, unfortunately, our Pittsburgh Steelers didn't do too well. They got walloped by the New England Patriots. But the whole concept of Foxborough was, I think, something that we should look at as far as what could possibly happen here. Foxborough is, 30 miles outside of Boston. And years ago, it was basically nothing except what the New England wanted to do. And look at it today. It's become a whole other, area of commerce, city, call it what you want. And with that 200 acres and what apparently is going on with other land purchases by other people, it could very well happen here as well.
Oh, this project has the ability to forever change the Anderson Road area. Take that all. Think of where they're talking. Go all the way down to Dave Lyle. Go across Dave Lyle. Everything north. Then go all the way to the county line to the river. This is a game changer. This has an opportunity to help us not only for the next 5 years but for the next 30 years. Again, though. You have to have a relationship where it's just not one-sided. It's like in any relationship. And what we want to do is we want to create a system for the Panthers where when the next guy comes, and the goal is to have the next guy come, that there's something still left on the table to give the next guy.
All right. The concept that I hear across the landscape that's been discussed. You know, you've got the city and the county coming together trying to figure out how they could do this thing. And one of the things that's been out there for a while is one of these multi-jurisdictional business park concepts.
Yeah.
Is that something that could potentially work here?
It could work. It could work as part of this. We have numerous multi-county jurisdictional parks already in York County. We could certainly do that. I think it all comes down to what fits this best. We've talked about feelots, fee in lieu of taxes. We've talked about a multi-county jurisdiction park. We're rolling through the options. As a lawyer, I can tell you, you don't walk into one of these negotiation meetings with the Panthers so far. You couldn't swing a dead cat and not hit a lawyer. Trust me, there are enough lawyers and finance people in these meetings. Someone will figure out the best way to do this. We'll figure it out.
I like that. All right. You also made it very clear at the State of the Community breakfast last week. One of the big pieces of this whole Panther proposal is some kind of a new off-ramp.
Yes.
And I don't know what the price tag is on that thing, $20 million, $30 million, $40 million, whatever the heck it's going to be. You've made it very clear that the state is going to assume all that?
We have been told that this is going to come, that the off-ramp, the new bridge, and the ramp that will be created from it is a state-funded organism. We are not, we've not been asked for a dime to go toward it. Now, we've allocated some money for some other roads and some things around it. We voted openly last week to allocate some money for that. So we're going to do it. But no, my understanding is that's part of the incentive package from the state. And I'm excited because, in all honesty, we at a local level, we need to fix the interchange at Celanese, Cherry. We need to fix the interchange at 160. We need to fix the one at Gold Hill, the one at Carowinds. I would hate to know that we're about to spend whatever the number is to build a brand new one when we have failing interchanges in other parts of the county.
But this new interchange could well help part of that, could it not, in terms of getting traffic on and off that interstate without clogging up old Dave Lyle and Cherry Road?
I guess that depends on if it's built like you're going to Disney World, where you get off the exit and the only place to go is to Tepper World, then maybe not. But if it can go other places, yes. And again, at a county level, I've seen lots of drawings. What I haven't seen is the one that is stamped final and approved. So I'll wait to see what it looks like. Anything you can do to pull people off the interstate and move them around in different directions, that can't hurt you. So hopefully they'll come up with a good plan.
But the bottom line of it is, as you pointed out, this is a win-win for everybody.
Well, this is a huge win. This is a feather in the cap. You know, David Tepper, what is he, the 36th richest man in the world? Tell me another. That means there are only 35 cities other than Charlotte and the Charlotte region that have a billionaire richer than our guy. We now have someone who has tremendous clout, who wants Charlotte, and not only Charlotte, but the Charlotte region, which includes York County, to be something more and something greater. If we can collaborate with him, not just on this, but on project after project after project, we really have a chance to kind of grab that tiger by the tail and actually direct where we want it to go.
And based on what little I know about the Tepper organization and reading about him personally, I mean, he's a self-made man. He started with nothing and has built all this. He gets it when it comes to giving back. I mean, he's involved with all kinds of stuff, helping out places and people who need help, particularly like them what's going down in the Bahamas.
I mean, you only hear positive things about Mr. Tepper, the entire organization, the way they go about. They take charity, they take their civic role very responsibly. This is a win. What we have to do is make it fit, make sure that it doesn't create issues, the unintended consequence, of it. If we can tackle that, I'm looking forward to it.
Next step on this? What's the next step? I mean, you've had
meetings. Meetings are the next step, Manning. I mean, I got to be honest. They're meeting, the economic development team and the Panthers lawyers, they meet almost weekly on this. So this isn't something that we pay attention to every week. The council gets updated every time we have a county council meeting. We go into executive session. We're given a briefing on it. We will probably have a briefing tomorrow night at our workshop in executive session. We're constantly being told what's going on because it's changing week to week.
And the other members of council seem to be as enthusiastic as you?
I think everybody on council sees this as a really good project. You know, it's like anything. As you said earlier, we have a rural and we have a very urban area. And sometimes those conflict. But I think we're all on board.
Well, Council Chairman Michael Johnson, thank you for being with us. That half hour flew by very quickly, and I appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Manning.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. And anybody who knows anything knows how it's done. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. There you go. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
WRHI Rock Hill.
Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 50 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.